Until you feel it. If you can't feel it, we're not going to feel it either. Amen. Our scripture for today is found again in the book of Acts chapter 12. Today I want to read verses 5 through 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 12. So much to say, so little time in which to say it. The word says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. I want to close up my thoughts today on getting through holiday blues. Getting through holiday blues. This is part two. I trust you remember that on last week I shared with you my observation that everybody not happy about the holiday season. This is one of the highest suicide rates in the year. From early November to the end of the year, there's a spike, a significant increase in people who decide to just kill themselves instead of deal with the blues, depression, despondency, depression, and sadness of this season. And as I was thinking about that and came across Acts chapter 12, I believe the Lord showed me how Peter could have had holiday blues, because after all, it was during the holiday of unleavened bread and the Passover that the preacher finds himself in prison instead of celebrating the holiday season. And so as I looked at that text, thought about us, it seemed good to remind you of holidays, blues, and getting through. Now, I told you on last week that as a believer, we ought to have some holidays, days that are special to us, cause us to think about how good the Lord has been, challenge us to make sure we're doing what we ought to do as his people. There are Christian holidays, church holidays, personal holidays, national and ethnic holidays. I talked to you on last week about this Freedom Eve and the passage of the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment did us much more good than the Emancipation Proclamation. And now we can add to our list of ethnic celebrations the celebration of the very first African American to be reelected as the President of the United States of America. Praise the Lord. We ought to have on our list of days some days where we make time to get with living loved ones. We must stop this craziness of never having time to go to the family gathering, but then we rush to the funeral. We need to make time to talk with and love up on living relatives. And then when you put all of those dates together, you'll begin to look at Psalms 118, verse 24, with a different perspective. That this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's relevant to every day that you wake up. Every day you wake up is a day that the Lord has made. And if you make a minute, if you just take a minute, you'll find out every day gives you something to rejoice about. For every new day means you survived yesterday. Every new day holds the possibility that today is going to be better than yesterday. And then I went on past holidays and shared with you the blues, sadness, feeling depressed, sometimes because people have disappointed us. Sometimes we've disappointed ourselves. Sometimes we feel as if we are under tremendous satanic attack. However, we can get through. And I just peeked over the fence on last Sunday at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and through 18, and share with you how, yes, we may be catching it now, but we're still in this thing. And if we fix our eyes on not what we see, but those things that are invisible, you'll find out that all we're going through right now is light and it is momentary. And God is still working his plan out for the good of his people. Now today I need to close up my thoughts. Can't stay in Acts chapter 12. There's some more stuff to talk about. Under this getting through, I want to say that we should work on trusting and obeying God's plan. That's what I want to deal with today. We should work on trusting and obeying God's plan. So I got to start with trusting God's plan. I am impressed by Peter's trust and confidence in God. One of the evidences of his having trust in God is how soundly the man has fallen asleep in prison. Now, I want you to think about your life. When you're worried about something, when your nerves are on edge, when there's trouble in your life, it's oftentimes very difficult to go to sleep. And if you do go to sleep, it's not good sleep. It's restless sleep. It's catnapping at most. But when you look at Peter, brother man is not out, all right? It wouldn't be surprised if he was snoring, got some slobber come out of his mouth. Him is gone, y'all. I mean, the book says that when the angel showed up, you couldn't just say, Peter, Peter, wake up. But the book said they had to strike Peter on his side to wake him up, Quick get up with an exclamation point means that's high energy. The brother is not out. He done walked all through the prison, all out on the street towards the city gate before he finally clear his head to discover he not sleep, he not dreaming. This is really happening to him. How can somebody sleep so soundly in maximum security prison? I argue it was because he trusted God so much that the Lord blessed him with a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I came by to tell you today, you don't have to hate on Peter and be envious of his peace of mind. You have access to this kind of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This ought to make the song that the choir just sung even more meaningful to you. This notion of, "Lord, anoint my mind and my heart and my voice that I might rejoice in thee." Get your mind right and your heart right, your intellect and your emotion right, and you can sleep with unanswered questions. It's peace, it's not understanding. It's peace, it's not deliverance. It's peace, it's not a way made. It's peace, it's not something that makes sense. It is a peace that goes beyond understanding. It's a peace that lets you sleep with chains on you that you think ought not be on you. It's a peace that allows you to sleep when you are locked up behind prison walls. Now, if you don't like Philippians or you just have an affection for the Old Testament, here's a beautiful text, Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Isn't that a marvelous promise? That the Lord will keep you in perfect peace if you would just trust him. Now, I want to be careful in this area, because there are people who say, "I trust God, I have peace of God." And if you dig deeper into what they're saying, they are really in a state of denial. They're trying to act like pain don't hurt. They're trying to act like these bills are not really here. They don't really have arthritis. They don't really have diabetes. They say stuff like, "Well, I ain't gonna claim it." Baby, you ain't gotta claim diabetes. Diabetes will claim you, all right? Talking about you got bills on your table, but I ain't gonna claim these bills. All right, I tell you what you do. Keep on not claiming that car note. You're being walked outside and somebody gonna be and reclaim your car. You ain't gotta claim it. Amen. But I wanna distance myself from that thought. That if I don't name it, if I don't claim it, then it is not reality. I'm here to tell you it is reality. Peter is really, for real, locked up in jail. This is a bad place to be. And some of y'all are going through some terrible stuff. But I came to tell you God is bigger than whatever you're going through. God can get you out. God can see you through. God can hold you up. God can protect you. God is still in this thing. I don't know when. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I trust him to move at the right time. I trust him to move in the right way. I trust him to use the hills and the valleys, the calms and the storm, the laughter and the tears. He's going to work all of that out for the good of those who love him. I trust him. And when you trust him, he'll give you so much peace that you can go to sleep. You got to look beyond what you can see. Hurricane Sandy is real. The storm that Paul experienced in the Sunday school lesson today, that was a real storm. It's just sometimes you got to fix your eyes, not on what you see, but on what you believe in the invisible. Now, if you got that point, turn the coin over. That's the head side of the coin. Look at the tail side of the coin. If you're having problems sleeping, your mind is always racing. You're always agitated. just can't quite get comfortable. Can't remember the last time you had a good 6-8 hours of restful sleep. It may mean, up under all of your church talk, you really don't trust God. Because when you trust Him, you can sleep in Him. If you're having problems sleeping in Him, you might want to press rewind and make sure you really trust. You do know you can say, "I trust Him," without trusting Him. You do know you can trust Him a little bit, but don't trust Him enough to qualify for this kind of peace and tranquility mentioned in our text. I want to be very clear. Everything that's going on in your life, it may indeed be real. Even if it's not as bad as you think it is, as a person thinketh, so it is to that person. But whatever is going on in your life, God is bigger, better, able to pull you through your circumstance. And if you would just learn how to let faith instead of fear control your life, you'd be surprised how much sleep you can get in prison. Somebody ought to help me here. Can I just throw this little footnote in? Faith and fear cannot dominate the same personality. You're going to have to make a decision here. Are you going to be afraid of what you see? Are you going to believe God who is invisible? If you want to get through holiday blues, if you want to get through your prison circumstance, at some point, you're going to have to stop worrying and just start trusting that God has not brought you this far just to leave you now. Thank God that Peter trusted God's plan, as evidenced by him sleeping. But I also believe that this church had a certain amount of trust in God, and their trust is demonstrated not by sleeping, but by praying. That verse 5, the fifth verse, says that they were earnestly praying to God for him, that is Peter. Verse 12 says, where many people were gathered and were praying. This was a praying church in our text. And you do know we ought to be a praying, trusting church. This ought to be the house of prayer. I heard Paul tell believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, I want you to think that over. This is supposed to be the house of prayer. We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. And then I want you to think about our prayer meetings. Well, let me help you, since most of y'all don't come. I was asking y'all to imagine our prayer meeting, and some of y'all drew a complete blank. You're like, when is prayer meeting? What? Pastor, now that ain't fair. Let me help y'all. Most of y'all don't come, so don't feel too bad. Chances are a person sitting next to you don't come any more than you come, and you know you ain't hardly ever coming. So when you look at our attendance, we don't attend prayer meeting like we believe there's any power in prayer. Those who do come to prayer meeting, is oftentimes way too difficult to get us to pray. You cannot outsource praying to the deacons and the pastor. When you read the text says everybody was praying. Now, the reason this is important is not just for statistical bragging rights, how many people we got in prayer meeting. But I am concerned that if we can't come and pray together, it may be the symptom of we really don't trust God to do much about our circumstances. Because if we trusted Him, if we believed we had a chance of prayer working, then we would at least come and try prayer. And the reason I know I'm in the right neighborhood is because I want y'all to think about how many times you played a number. And you know why you played a number? Because you think you got a chance of winning. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all played a number every day. Because you think that you improve your chances if you keep playing the same numbers every day. And my Lord, don't miss a day and your number come out. You know what I'm talking about. I would hate to think that we are extending Peter's stay in prison because we flunked the test of prayer. When I look at this text and see how much that church prayed, I would like to think the church's praying had something to do with Peter's release from prison. I would like to think that's why that's in the text. If the praying church is irrelevant to Peter's release, why would they put that in the story? They mentioned praying too many times for it to be irrelevant to the release. So if there's a relationship between a praying church and the release of Peter, and then I look at how hard it is for us to pray, I can't help but raise the question in my thinking. Are we extending somebody's stay in prison? Because in spite of how good we look and how good we smell and how well we sing on Sunday, we don't trust God enough to pray. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to shout on that point, isn't it? Trusting God. Something is wrong when we trust Him, but don't trust Him enough to even engage in a 30-minute a week prayer meeting. That's not enough trust. Because the more you trust Him, the more you ought to want to talk with Him. And then we move beyond the silly discussion. Well, Reverend, I can pray at home. It's true, you can pray at home. But if you're convinced that prayer will work in your house, then nobody should have to argue with you that it will show enough work in the Lord's house. If you come to Bible study, you'll discover that where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, then the Lord will be in the midst of them. There's power in prayer, and even more power when we pray together and anticipate that God is going to do something. Would anybody describe their church? Would anybody describe this church as a praying church? Would anybody describe this church as a church that earnestly prays for them? Well, let's try this part over here. That one is dead. Let's try this one over here. That was trusting God's plan stuff. I'm turning the corner now to obeying God's plan. How do I get through the holiday blues? How do I get out of prison? Not only must I trust God, but I must obey God's plan. Look again at this story, and you will discover that Peter is given several instructions and he obeys each instruction, which results in him being on the outside instead of the inside of the prison. Now look closer and you'll discover that God's plan is delivered through the Lord's angel. Do y'all see that in the text? Verse 7, it says, suddenly an angel of the Lord. Now this is important because there are some times in the Bible where it says the angel of the Lord. The is a definite article. An angel is an indefinite article. The angel, that means this is important. This is a specific angel, oftentimes some kind of a type of Christ. An angel, indefinite article, means there's nothing really all that ordinary. It's one of many angels that the Lord could have called. Now, when you think of angel, your mind has probably been influenced by Hollywood. So when I say angel, you think of white folk, with little white folk, with wings coming out their back and halo over their head, and they floating around playing a harp or something. None of that is in the Bible. Hollywood made that up and put that picture in your head. Get into the book, and the book shows you that angel equals messenger. That's why when the angel show up, it talks about fear not, thus saith the Lord. I got a message from the Lord. An angel. angel is a messenger. Mm-hmm. Now, Revelations chapter 1, verse 20 shows us that God sends angels to the church. And we believe that the pastor is an angel messenger to the church. That's why in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, when it talks about the golden stands and the stars and candlesticks, it's a reference to pastor and church. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, the letters to the seven churches are written to the angel of the church. About 4 years ago, this church and I agreed that I would be the angel, the messenger, the interpretive voice of what does God want the people of God of Southern to do. That's why we had to pray so hard, because anybody can preach a sermon. You know, you can go to the convention and buy a whole book of sermons. You can buy Ernie. You can buy, wait, Ernie up. Ernie, you can buy a sermon. It's more to it than just preaching a sermon. A messenger got to be in connection with the one whose message is being relayed. And so there was a tremendous search process to make sure that this is not a wolf in sheep's clothing, because as angel, we expect him to be in so much connection with God that every time he stands, he can say with great confidence, "Thus saith the Lord." Now let me go on and tell you, it's dangerous to be in such a mean world without a praying church or an angel on your side. It's dangerous to be out in this world and nobody's lifting your name in prayer. No angel brings word for you. And the reason I know that's right is because if you were to read on in Acts 12, verse 19, you'll find out that the guards who were supposed to have been keeping Peter in jail, they were executed. And they were executed without church affiliation. They were executed without having an angelic messenger in their life. And I say to you, if you're here today thinking I'm just visiting, I'm just passing through, you need to get yourself in church. Some place where people are calling your name in prayer. A place where there is an angelic messenger with a word from the Lord for you. And in times like these, almost any piece of church will be better than no church at all. And then there are those who've been in this church for some while now, and nothing we do satisfies you. I would urge you to find a praying church. Find you somebody who you believe is angel, messenger of the Lord. I don't know why in the world anybody would go anywhere and nothing is right. I don't know why anybody would go anywhere and nothing in that situation is right. I mean, some of y'all get out the car complaining. You didn't even get up in here. Before you got in here, you already found something that was wrong. When you got to the door, you anticipated the usher not gonna smile right. Choir not gonna sing my song. Deacon ain't gonna pray right. Pastor ain't gonna pray right. I bet you I'm gonna sit next to some of them hypocrites up in there. And it's just one complaint after another. You might wanna try some of these other churches. Because you don't want to go anywhere where you don't believe that prayer is going on. When you take prayer out of the church, what are you left with? When you take God out of the equation, what is this? It's just a religious social club. If the pastor has no connection with God and the people don't pray, why you keep showing up in a situation like that? You need to find a place where folk know how to get a prayer through. You need to find somebody who you think really has the anointing of God on their life, because bad things happen when you don't have a praying church or an angel of the Lord to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And so then they had an angel. But I go a little further now And you're not going to really like this part right here, but you're going to have to act like it's all right because the people around you are acting like it's all right. But I'm telling you right now, this one has a little aftertaste to it. What good is having an angel of the Lord if you don't obey the angel of the Lord? I told you to leave a little aftertaste, Tony. I want you to read the story again. The angel does not simply make a cameo, say hello, and run off the scene. The angel comes to the story giving instructions. A key part to Peter getting out of jail through the blues is that he followed the instructions of the angel. And I tell you, if the Lord has blessed you with an angel, a messenger, somebody who's saying, thus saith the Lord, the only reason in the world the Lord is telling you what to do is because he expects you to obey. Now, it would be easy to just find a nice, sweet exit, and we just jump and shout on our way out of church, go get a piece of chicken and see, can the Bengals pull this off today? But as angel, I got some observations to share. I say to us that when I look at how difficult it is to get us to behave by our values, I am not convinced that we are not extending our stay in prison. When I look at angel speak and Peter obeying the text, and then I look at how hard it is for us to obey, perhaps one of the reasons why we're still locked up in prison situations is not because of the chains, it's not because of the guards, it's not even because of locked doors, it is because of this inability or unwillingness to simply trust and obey the will of the Lord. I knew I would have to give examples, so come on. We say that our goals are evangelism. And yet there are too many of us who cannot remember the last time we seriously gave effort to inviting and trying to bring loved ones with us to the worship experience. We still struggle trying to learn this little preschool scripture of John 3:16. In 4 years, we still can't remember 4 statements in the plan of salvation. That's not the behavior of people following angel out of prison. We say that our value is edification. And yet we struggle to just get us to do basic stuff like studying, serving, and giving. Y'all stop looking at me like that. Y'all gonna hurt my feelings. We say that one of our values is to love one another. And I'm thankful we act friendly towards one another for the most part. But how many of y'all know love goes deeper than a smiling face? It goes deeper than a shaking hand. But not only that, we said that one of our values is worship. And this one really just blows my mind because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to worship. I cannot for the life of me figure out why a person would get up on Sunday morning, put on church clothes, be at worship before worship, sit through worship, and never worship. You really ought to worship the Lord. You ought to worship him because, first of all, he's worthy. You ought to worship him because he told you to. And then you ought to worship him because worshiping him is going to make you feel better. Somebody ought to help me here. This is a side note, but can I just tell you, the more I praise him, the better I feel. But not only worship, when I look at our professed value of community involvement, I must pat us on the back and say we have done much better. 1,000 volunteer hours, over $11,000 given to missions in and around the Cincinnati area. That's pretty good. If the bar was our peers, we would have passed the test. But the bar is not our peers. It has never been a competition with other churches. The bar is what is our best. Have we given our best in service? And if we unpack the numbers, you discover that the 1,000 hours was not given by all of us. Some of us don't even know what the pastor is talking about right now. That when we say it's our value to be involved in this community, that means all of us ought to put our hands on something. And then the final value is that of excellence. And can I just hasten to say that there are too many who think that average is good enough for church. But I remind you, if you give excellence on your job, you ought to give more than excellence to the Lord. If you give excellence to the military, you ought to give more than excellence to the church. If you give excellence to your business enterprise, you ought to give more than excellence to the Lord's business. That when I look at what we say and look at what we do, the angel have to tell you that there's still room for improvement. And the reason it's relevant for this sermon is that obedience is a key to getting out of prison. If you're not careful, you'll mess around here and extend your stay. Whereas you could have been out and enjoying your freedom, you find yourself waking up with chains still on you. You really got to get into this trust and obey situation. But you know, I got good news for you. If you could just be honest, if you can move past your pride and just come clean with the Lord. I heard the Bible say that if we would confess our sin, God is faithful to forgive us of our sin and then cleanse us from all iniquity. If you're serious about getting through holiday blues, you're going to have to learn how to trust and obey the Lord. If you're serious about getting out of your prison situation, you've got to learn how to trust and obey. Allow me, if you don't mind here, to close with the word of this marvelous hymn. The hymn is entitled Trust and Obey. Listen, would you please? It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who trust and obey. The chorus might be a little more familiar. It says, trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The second verse says, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Let me read one more verse. I'll be about out of here. That last verse sound. Then in fellowship, sweet, we will sit at his feet. We'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never afraid, only. I wish I had some help on this part. Trust and obey. Help me with the chorus, children. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's all I have for you. If you want to make it through the holiday blues, if you want to make it out of your prison situation, you've got to learn how to trust and obey God. Did you hear me? Hear me good now. Yes, you got chains on you. Yes, you're locked up behind prison walls. Yes, you got mean people all around you. Yes, you're behind a wall that's behind another wall. But listen at Pastor now. God can break off the chains. God can wake you up and keep the guard sleeping. God can make a way out of no way. But what you gotta do is trust and obey. I wish I had a witness here. Did y'all notice that when the angel and Peter were walking towards the door to the city, the Bible says that the door opened all by itself. Did y'all hear me? I know it's kind of hard to go back 2,000 years. It's kind of hard to go back and imagine the doors to the city. You're so used to going to Kroger's. When you go to Kroger's and get close to the door, that door just open up for you. Yeah, but that's the wrong way to read Acts chapter 12. No electricity in Acts chapter 12. No automatic doors in Acts chapter 12. Well, what happened, Reverend? How is it the Bible says that as they walk towards that door, the door opened up all by itself? I tell you how it happened. It was God making a way out of nowhere at all. Don't you know God still makes a way that can't nobody take credit for? You'll walk up on a brick wall and tell God, I can't go any further. And the Lord tells you, just trust me and keep on walking towards that wall. And before you know it, the Lord will make a hole in the wall so you can get through. And if you think that's something, when you get through, and your enemies try to come through what you've been through, look what God will do. God will seal the opening he made for you. And if you don't believe me, go ask Pharaoh and his army. Pharaoh will tell you they tried to come through the Red Sea just like they saw the Israelites go through the Red Sea. But because they did not have the anointing on them, they got drowned in the Red Sea. Yes, I got good news for you. God can handle your chains. God can handle your guards. God can handle the doors and walls in your life. But you've got to do your part here. You got to trust him and obey him. Now help me. Anybody here got a made up mind to trust and obey him? Don't play now. It's time to go. Anybody here got a made up mind to trust him and obey? God will. God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Anybody know? He may not come when you want him, but you can trust him to be on time. You can trust him to have the right stuff. And he alright. And he alright. Help me say yes. Yes, 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 yes. He will come. I said he will come. If you don't give up on God, God will not give up on you. You can make it through this thing. You don't have to give up. God sees your chains. God sees the guards. God sees all of these locked doors. And none of that is any problem for God. God can handle all of that. But you got to play your position. You got to trust him. And you got to obey him. I'm a living witness. The Lord will make a way somehow. But Reverend, I can't see no way. That might be because God hasn't made the way. You're too far away from where you need to be. The closer you get, the more you'll see. You just got to trust. You just got to trust that he hasn't brought you this far. Just to leave you now. Listen, next week,